Hey, it's so good to be with you today. This is Dr. Ron Lester coming to you from Tucson, Arizona. And we are so grateful for BPN Radio and the opportunity to minister today. And I trust that you will be blessed. And, you know, one of the favorite scriptures that I have, and I learned it, you know, when I was a kid, I had this teacher when I was about, I guess, 5, 6 years old, 7 years old at the most. It was the primary class, and she was so, I guess you'd call it, encouraging to memorize scriptures. And I remember, you know, one of the first scriptures that I memorized was, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and that's in Psalms 23. But one of the other scriptures that was so important to me was in John 14, 1, 2, and 3. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now, that troubled means don't let your heart be anxious. And so, anyway, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to a place where I am, there you may be also." So he says, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." Think about that a minute. And this is for our veterans. This is the Sunday before Veterans Day this year. And we are so thrilled that God has given us the opportunity to minister to our veterans. I like this commercial that they have. "My fellow veterans," you know, it starts out there doing a home lending thing for your mortgage. Veterans basically get a 100% loan on their house if they want it and what have you. It definitely is an opportunity to get a loan, you know, with at 100% appraisal rate. So anyway, this guy's been in, you know, 32 years or something like that. And but veterans, you are special. And today I just want to, you know, congratulate you for taking that time out of your schedule to be a to serve in our country, and we appreciate it so much. And I just you know, as I connect this sermon, you know, with that, you know, I think about Jesus and what he was talking about. You and I, we've got a home up in heaven waiting for us. Veterans, we got a special home up there. I just believe that because, you know, you have served our country. And if it wasn't for you, I tell you what, we wouldn't have the freedom as we have right now. We wouldn't have the freedom to vote in these elections. We wouldn't have the freedom to go from state to state. We wouldn't have the freedom, you know, to travel. You know, I just feel like, you know, we are blessed. And thank you, veterans. Thank you for being so willing to go. You know, I think about all of those people that have served our country. In Vietnam, when I was there, I mean, it was in, you know, 65, 66, 67. We were privileged to serve in the Air Force. And I tell you what, I learned a lot of things. I know that God placed me in different places. I was when they sent me to Vietnam, they sent me right back to the Philippines for TDY. And because our shop wasn't finished and it was a base that they just opened up and what have you. But Mom and Pop Gaylord, I went down to the Pentecostal Fellowship. It was just outside the gate of Clark Air Base. And I tell you what, there was a welcome arm. You know, Mom and Pop Gaylord was so wonderful to accept all of those, all the service people that wanted to come and fellowship, have services. They would feed us. I tell you what, on the weekends, as soon as I get off work, I would head down that way. And, I mean, it was just an opportunity. I'd take, an AWOL bag, and I'd stay all night. And then we would go on Sunday. We'd go to different places around the area. And Brother Gaylord would preach. He was a missionary. And I tell you what, he could preach. He was an awesome individual. He was retired Army. And it was amazing, what Brother Gaylord was able to do. And I just remember that old Rambler that we took. It was about to fall apart, but it still went. And so, you never know. God directs us. God gives us divine appointments and divine connections. I know many times, I know that a lot of the Army guys that I went to, basically when I went to school, in Purcell, Oklahoma, I know when I graduated in 63 that a lot of the guys got drafted and they went into the Army or the Marines. And I know that several of them got killed, and I know that several of them was critically wounded and what have you. And I just appreciate each one of you. And I know that a lot of you went through some hard times. And I just encourage you to rely upon this scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then when you look at that scripture, let not your heart be troubled. I just think about that so much. Jesus is telling each one of us not to let our hearts be troubled. Don't be upset over the things that you're going through. The challenges is, in Romans, he talks about, I believe it's in the fifth chapter, verses 3 and 4, 5, right along there. He says, because of your persecution, because of your afflictions, because of the things that's happening to you, you are basically going to improve in your ability to go forward. You learn by those things that you go through. I tell you what, if you are, it's just like a baby. When you look at the a baby that's trying to walk, he pulls himself up on the coffee table or what have you, on the couch, and he's pulling himself up, and the first thing he's taking a step or two, then he falls. Then, he goes back to the couch or the coffee table and pulls up, and he walks another two or three steps. And first thing he is walking. If you always picked him up and, made him, helped him walk and what have you, I tell you what, he wouldn't learn to walk by himself. And that's why that God allows us to go through persecutions, goes through afflictions and what have you, is to help us to become better men and women. And so if you're going through a trial and tribulations, don't let it trouble you, because God is allowing you to go through that trial. He's allowing you to have a challenge in your life. Because if you didn't have any challenges, you wouldn't know what to do. We go through the valleys, and if you look through the valley out in the mountainous area and what have you, and you look down in the valley, and the first thing you do is look, you see all of these beautiful trees. I mean, the big old fir trees, the pine trees, and what have you, they're reaching up toward heaven. I mean, they really do grow wonderfully in the valley. But as you get up higher in the top of the mountain, you hardly ever see a tree up on top of the mountain, because the wind is so strong on that mountain that a tree usually cannot stand on that mountain. So anyway, that's where you grow. If you're going through a trial and you go through a valley and what have you, you're going to grow in that valley. And don't think it unusual or something. I think it's in Peter. He talked about it. He says, don't think it, or James, one or the other. He says, don't think it unusual when you go through trials, because you're going through trials. You as a Christian, you as an individual, we're all going to go through some trials. And that's what really strengthens us and gives us the strength to go through the next trial and tribulation. That's what gives us grit. I think of mom and dad, and I think about, you know, growing up as mom and dad in the 50s. I tell you what, it was an interesting time. We did what we call sharecropping. And during that time period, in the early 50s, I tell you what, the crops, the weather wasn't, you know, what we would call great. It seemed to be having one of those droughts. We had several years that it didn't hardly rain, and it was almost like the Dust Bowl. I remember a couple of times when the dust would have gotten, it got so bad that it reminded us of the Dust Bowl back in the 30s. And Dad and Mom both grew up in the, you know, in the 30s, and they remember those Dust Bowl times and how that basically, you know, that you could not breathe hardly without, you know, you had to have a scarf around you. And it was just a really tough time in Oklahoma. And so anyway, during that 1950 to 1959, I tell you what, the things that they lost their crops. Finally, we put in an irrigation well, and that helped for a few years. And then in 1957, it came a huge flood, and the river got out three times that year. It killed all of the alfalfa. It killed all the corn crops. It killed everything that we had planted in the fields. And finally, Dad was able to put some maize in. I think it was like in July or something, and he was able to harvest some of it. In October, it was so wet that he got the combine and the two tractors stuck. And he had to wait till it froze, and then he was able to drive them out. But, you know, it's amazing what kind of grit that Mom and Dad had. And that's what we want to talk about today, is that veterans have grit. They've been taught, they've been through trials, they've been through challenges in boot camp. I tell you what, they've gone through some real challenges. You look at the Army and the Marines, I tell you what, they go through some really challenging times. The Navy SEALs, I tell you what, I don't know how those guys can stand to stand in that ocean out there in San Diego for hours on end. I mean, that water is cold. We go out there to the Navy Lodge on North Island every once in a while, and I tell you what, that water is just like ice. I don't know what temperature it is, but it is cold. And, you know, people get out there and go swimming in it, but what have you. But, you know, that's what makes them guys tough. Those guys are tough. And you know, I think about, I go back to the Word of God and I look at David, and I wonder, you know, how on earth was David to have all of that ability to take and fight that giant like he did? I admire this young man. I mean, it just amazes me, you know, what this young man did. I mean, he was, you know, he was a shepherd boy, and you know, Samuel came, he was looking to, you know, God told him, says, you know, Saul has rejected me and I've rejected him. And, you know, he said, go to Jesse and I want you to anoint one of his boys as the next king. Well, he goes through six different young men, all tall and handsome and what have you. But God tells Samuel, no, not this one, not this one, not this one, not this one. And finally he goes to Jesse. He says, you got any more boys anywhere? He says, yes, I got one other boy that's taking care of the sheep. He's nothing but a kid. He's a rough looking little kid. He hasn't grown up to really amount to anything. But Samuel says, go get him. And so anyway, they send for David to go to come in. And Samuel says, God to Samuel, this is the one. And anyway, Samuel anoints David as king. Anoints him to be the king, the future king. I don't know how long it took him from the time that he was, probably 15, 16, 17 years old, to become the next king and what have you. But he went through some trials out there taking care of the sheep. When you think about what all he did, and he talks about, all of the things, he killed a bear, he killed a lion. How did he do that? You just think about the power of the Holy Spirit. See, David was so in contact with God. I mean, it was that fellowship that David had. You know, I can remember many times as I, as a farmer, I'd get on that tractor and I would start praying. I can remember, probably about, I was 11 or 12 years old. And one day I seen this here thing on my dad's arm, and it was a big old, cancerous looking, ugly looking thing, And, it was bleeding and what have you. And, it just looked like it was like, wow, what is that thing? Anyway, yeah, but I had that, tremendous compassion. And I know it really hurt my dad. I don't know why that, he didn't go have it taken off and what have you. But anyway, when I got on that tractor, the Lord just spoke to me and says, you know what? You need to start praying for your dad. And I started praying for dad and asking God to heal that arm. And I can remember, praying around, every time that I would pray from that morning all the way to noon. I went in at noon, and I don't even hardly remember plowing. I just remember praying, and the tears would flow down my cheeks and what have you. And when I got to the house that at noon to eat dinner, Mom looked at my face, and it was all plastered with dirt. And she says, she could see that I had tears that had been flowing down, and that dirt was just matted to my face. And I went and washed, and I looked at that water, and it was just like black, And, but you know what? I didn't know what happened from that time period, but one day, when I was grown, I asked my dad, I said, Dad, do you remember that thing that was on your arm? And he says, yeah. He says, the doctor kept trying to get me to take that thing off. He wanted to take it off, and I wouldn't let him do it, And I said, well, whatever happened to it? He said, well, one day, down there at the farm, he says, all of a sudden it just fell off. And I says, praise God. And, I don't remember if I ever told him, that I had prayed on that tractor or not, but I know that I interceded for him. And see, that's what we've got to do right now is intercede for those that are lost and undone, for those friends and neighbors that are lost, for all of those veterans that may be lost. We need to pray for one another that God would minister to each one of our veterans that, the thing that's happening is that the 22 of us, of the veterans and active duty are killing themselves or committing suicide every day. And we need to pray for them, that God would minister to them in a mighty way, that God give them peace. See, that's what John 14:1 was talking about. Don't let your heart be troubled. See, there is our veterans, our loved ones, our friends out there. They are committing suicide, going and coming. I know that young people are committing suicide 22 every hour across this nation. I was surprised at how many people that are committing suicide. It's sad. I know that God is able to minister in a mighty way. I know my son was, he's a chaplain in the Army. And, for 2 weeks we went up to, where he was living at. And, he was on, duty, recall duty and what have you. And during that 2 weeks, it was during Christmas, and New Year's and what have you, he had five different times that, they were young men that were committing suicide, that were active duty, and they were committing suicide, and he had to take care of those situations. And, you know, that's serious. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to stand in the gap for these young men that God administered to them. I know that, you know, many of these guys have been deployed across this nation into, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan and what have you. And many times, you know, they don't know if they're going to return. I know that many of them have got blowed up. I go to the VA over here in Tucson, and I talked to different ones. I just talked to one the other day, and he'd been in for 14 years, and I was talking to him. You know, he says, I asked him, I said, why did you retire? Why'd you get out? He says, I got blowed up, man. He says, I got blowed up in Afghanistan, and now I have titanium shoulders. I have titanium back in my back and hips, and I tell you what, he said, if it wasn't for those you know, the chest protectors and what have you, the armor plates and what have you, he said, I would have probably been killed. And so he was grateful to be alive. He had such an excitement, and boy, he could walk. I was walking with him, and I tell you what, I told him, I said, you know what, we're going to have to slow down. I'm running over people here. I couldn't see him, you know, and he wasn't paying too much attention, you know, where I was at or what have you. But anyway, we just feel for those veterans, and I just want to say a prayer for them right now. I know that you may be a veteran. I know that you've served our country, and I appreciate our veterans. Thanks for serving our country. You know, I hear that a lot, you know. Thanks for serving the country and, you know, serving America, standing up for the flag, patriotism, nationalism. See, that's what God is all about. He wants us, this nation. We've been able to send missionaries around the world, and as we've sent missionaries around the world, I believe God has blessed this nation. That's what He's protected this nation. He's given this nation that ability to raise money and send our missionaries around the world. And you see the fruit of it right now in Africa. Africa is one of the fastest growing countries that have received, they're receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. They're being saved on every hand. And we just thank God for the missionaries that have served, that have taught the nationals there to preach the word of God and to reach out into their neighborhoods and reach their country for the Lord. Hallelujah. For our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, He's alive and well, and He will help you. Lord Jesus, we ask you right now that you minister to our veterans. I know that there's many of them that have PTSD, that have TBI, and I ask you to minister to them, and I ask you to minister peace to them. Encourage them, Lord, right now as they go through challenges. I know that those challenges have made them better individuals, even though that they may think it's not beneficial to go through some of the trials and afflictions that they're having to go through. But I just believe that they're better individuals. I think about the one lady here in Phoenix that she got blowed up. I believe it was in Afghanistan or Iraq. She has a broken back, and she can only, you know, she can't move her legs or anything, but she can move her one of her arms, I believe it is, and but you know, she's still going, and I tell you what, she is on fire for God, and we're grateful for that. And she's got a great attitude, and that's what we've got to have. We got to have a great attitude about it. Hallelujah! I just ask the Lord to give you that attitude, that great attitude, that you're going to serve the Lord, that the power of the Holy Spirit is flowing through you, in the name of Jesus. Oh, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white. That's in John 4:35. He says for us to look and see the fields that are ripe right now, that are, the harvest is truly ripe. The harvest in America is truly ripe. We've got to rise up, people. Veterans, I asked you to get on fire for God. Talk to the Lord. Ask him, say, Lord, what do you want me to do now? What is my mission in this life? I just believe that the Lord has called you, and I just believe that the Lord wants you right now to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to go wherever you'd have me to go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. We just thank God for you as a veteran. Oh, hallelujah. Stand up and go forth and do something for God. I just believe that there's an opportunity for each one of us to be a witness throughout this United States. I know that if you will stand in the gap, I just believe that souls will be saved. You have a great opportunity from your experience. I just believe that God will use you. And I heard Dave, I'm trying to think what his name is. Anyway, I'll think of it in a minute. David Jeremiah the other day. And he said this statement. He says, you know what? When you are witnessing, he says, you've got to tell your testimony. Give your testimony out to people. When they hear your testimony, they're going to turn and they're going to respond to your testimony. You know, I thank God, for all of the times that he has saved me from different situations. When I was in Vietnam, I know that many people, many of them, basically they smoked, they drank, they took drugs and what have you. But I thank God for that protection, that God was able to protect me. I remember one time I was in a tent, and this here guy, he was from Purcell, Oklahoma also, and he was trying to get me to drink. And he said, let's have a drink for old time's sake. And he was drunk. He had done drink. I don't know how much of his bottle of liquor that he'd already drank, but he was not too sober anyway. And he was determined to make me drink. And, it was a miracle that one of the other sergeants in the tent, distracted him for just a minute. And I ran out of the tent and took off. And, I didn't come back till the next day. I went to work and what have you. And by that next day, he told me, he says, you're a better man than I am. And listen, God bless you. We're going to, we just pray that each one of you will be blessed today. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be troubled today. In the name of Jesus, if you're not saved, I just want you to accept the Lord. Say, come into my heart. I accept you as my Lord and Savior in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This is Dr. Ron Lester from Tucson, Arizona, and on BPN Radio today. We're grateful for the opportunity. And so we look forward to seeing you soon and see you next Sunday. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.